Somebody shout hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. Awesome God, mighty God, you are highly lifted up. He's the Lord that never changes. Amen. Thank you, praise team. The Lord bless you for that awesome praise. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your holy name because, Father, you are God. You are an awesome and wonderful God. You are good. Thank you for making it possible for us to stand here this morning. Thank you for your people, Lord. Thank you, Father, for people who are here this morning who might be burdened with issues, who might have problems, but they left their home to come into your house, and some are watching on the TV, some are going to listen later on, Father, and they are praising you even in the face of their circumstances. Eternal God, you are God that answers a prayer. Lift their burdens in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring deliverance, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Show to them that you are the awesome God. You are the unfailing God we believe in. Thank you, Father, this day. As we break into your word, speak through us to your glory and let your name be exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. A little sobering message this morning. Maybe another time we preach on high things like faith and stuff. But I want us to pay attention to this message. But when the blind leads the blind. When the blind leads the blind. It is found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus Christ speaking about this issue. When the blind leads the blind. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. And when you speak of something like this, the immediate thought pattern is, it's going to preach on spiritual blindness, which is one of the blindness. But that's not our main focus this morning. In verse 14, he said, let them alone. Let them be. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into ditch. But as we say, it is not just the spiritual part, which may be a message for another day. We are talking of the carnal blindness, for lack of better words, that involves people and cause them to fail and cause them to lose so much. I first came across this when God has given me a little grace in the ministry of intervention. Intervention meaning people who are hurting, people who are having issues, people who might have some things, thinking that I'm qualified, will approach me to ask for guidance, for help. Not just members of the church, but in the community where we find ourselves to be, and even some people from outside. And in speaking to them, I find that early on, where the problem lies, where the situation is coming from, and it becomes concerning. Today, I'm going to talk on some of them. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful whom you tell certain things or hope to gain advice from. And this is not a message for young ones only, though I want the children to pay attention. It is for men, it is for women, it is for church members, it is for fathers and mothers, it is for anyone. Be careful whom you listen to, either in actual fact, person to person, or in some cases, people you listen to on your phone or in other areas of life who gives you advice. And you take that advice literally and apply them in life situations. Part of the reason many people fail to discern is due to lack of gift of discernment. When we talk of gift of discernment, there's this spiritual discernment that many shy away from because of what you see. Even when God has given them that gift, they size it once or twice or thrice, and they start saying, "May God, what I see in the spiritual world can be terrifying." We're not going to go into that this morning. But there's also the discernment that is the Holy Spirit is nudging you, the Holy Spirit is pushing you, the Holy Spirit is telling you, listen to what this person is saying and move away from it. And many of us are caught in the snares, and we take the advice of friends and we went on to apply it only for it to bring destruction. I remember one particular case, a young lady. And the new and the husband, they just married about 3-4 months. And they came to me for this counseling or advice. And early on, this lady just came to this country within 3 months or 4 months or so. I noticed her language is the language of somebody who had been here for 10, 15 years. I noticed her perception. I started to wonder, when is she that educated? No, how did all this knowledge come on so early on? And in talking to her, I found out that it's from a friend, but I don't know this friend. One day we were in a party, I was invited, and this lady was dancing, very beautiful lady, good looking and everything, dressed really sexy and stuff, and was dancing and dancing with such abandon. At the point, some man, an older gentleman, come and pinch her in America, pinch her in the air and drag her out of the hall. So that kind of messed up. I said, who is that person? He mentioned the name of the lady. It happens to be the person who is advising the person I'm counseling. She already wrecked her marriage. She already wrecked her life. She has done things that shouldn't be. I don't know. Probably the husband did certain things. But I say, is that the person you are taking advice from? Yep. You look at this person you are taking advice from. Her. Yeah, she knows everything. She's very educated. And she's knowledgeable. I said, that is so wrong. Well, she didn't listen. The marriage got destroyed. The last time I got a call from her years ago was from in the street. And she told me she's kind of homeless or something or whatever is going on with her outside the state. But those are the things I tried to warn her about. That if you follow this advice, you are going to ruin your life, you are going to ruin your marriage, you are going to ruin the things that this lady already did to herself, and you are trying to do it yourself because of lack of discernment. At times, many of us fall prey to such things. And that is where I want to bring us to this morning. These friends we talk about are fake. For those of you who might say, well, it's a Christian like me. There are a lot of fake friends even in the household of God. There are a lot of fake men of God. There are a lot of fake prophets or prophetess or prophet, whatever they call themselves. You have to discern them by their fruits. Coming to that. You shall know them by what? By their fruits. But that is where I made a mistake several times. I forgot that some fruits are grafted. So there's fruit and there's a grafted one. Coming to that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah? He says these are what we call insidious friends. By the way, let me first say, please, I'm not discouraging you from making friends. I'm not discouraging you from finding godly good friends. I have some. You should have some. I'm talking of fake friends. I'm talking of friends that are not friends. I'm talking of friends, but they are agents of the enemy. Saying to tear down your marriage. Saying to tear down your business. Saying to tear down your life. Your relationship with your children. Your relationship with your husband. Your relationship with your wife. Your relationship with the good people. Here is the definition of some of these insidious friends. They are harmful, treacherous, deceitful, fake friends. They operate in a subtle, stealthy, or gradual way, often entrapping or causing grave danger before you notice it. Before you come to the knowledge of who they are, they already cause immense harm. Damages you may not be able to restore, but for the grace of God. They are artful manipulators. Drama queens are some of them. Prince of dooms are some of them. These people are sent for a purpose. And I've seen many Christians fall prey to it. I've seen many take their advice and swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And that brought down their growth in the spiritual level. That brought down things that shouldn't be. They start to take advice. They start to listen to these manipulators. They are hypocrites. A wolf in sheep clothing. A wolf can put on the clothing of a sheep, but he's still a wolf. When you take him out on something and you see a little chicken, he will devour it. A lamb, a goat will not do that because that's not his type. If you look at the track of a wolf, the footprint they left on the ground, it will be different from that of a wolf. Though they put on the sheep clothing, they put on the clothing of what is normal, they are not what they claim to be. And many Christians have destroyed their life. Many Christians have destroyed their relationship because they listen to these insidious characters. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. They are destiny crashers. God has a purpose for you. There's a destiny God has mapped out for each and every one of his children. They are there to pull you away, drag you away from that God has purposed in your life. I say in Jesus' name, it will not come to be. It will not happen in your life. It will not happen in your children's life. It will not happen in your family. It will not happen in your environment. The thing that God has purposed for your life will come to pass. The Lord will reveal this kind of characters so that you don't fall trap to their plans, to their maneuvers, to things they intend to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These people are what we call peace stealers. They just know when you are down, and that is when the phone rings. They call you, I'm calling to check on you. They are not checking on you. They are trying to, please, when you deal with them, after speaking to them, instead of de-escalating, you escalate in your anger. Things that are supposed not to manifest start to manifest. When they come to your life, they want attention. They manipulate you in a certain way. And many of them have qualities and characters you need. I've seen some well, to leave them is very hard. Because they are like AI of information. They know everything about everybody. They call you, and not just about the negative, even you know the good one. Where you can go and shop for cheap. The places, their sales, they know it. They know everything. They count on everything. So they become your friends. They simulate into your life, gradually, subtly, take over, take control, manipulate you into becoming a yes ma'am or yes supreme. And this is not just women. These are men. Some people will tell you, hey, what is that woman doing to you? Not to listen, not to see, not to control, not to guide you out or give you good advice, but to direct you on how to even harm yourself more. And then they sit back and laugh at you. Look at that fool. I got him. He's down now. He's going through this because of what? That is what the agent, the enemy, put them there to do. It shall not be our portion in Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say amen to that? I said they are peace stealers. But they will never steal our peace in the mighty name of Jesus. It's agents working in covert operation. Intent on what? Manipulating you to get you out of the destiny, the plan that God has for you. But that shall not be. The Bible told us in this case, it said, be sober and be what? Vigilant. Be sober and vigilant on who, the kind of friends, the kind of company you put. The Bible said that even good morals are spoiled. You say bad company spoils what? Good morals. In other words, when you associate with bad company, when you make yourself, because you want to belong, because you want to feel the impact of the environment, and you go with the wrong characters, and you go with the wrong friends, and you go with the wrong people, what happens is that you start gradually changing. You start turning to become like them. That should not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By their fruits, you can start to discern who is who. When you are a Christian, or you call yourself a Christian, as I've seen many times, but the language, the thing you tell other people, are contrary to what Jesus Christ will say. They may say the right word, they may do, but their action will always betray them. Black cannot turn to white. You may paint it anywhere you want, it will still be what you see. Don't care how more chameleonic you might be, you will always retain your color. A leopard does not change its color. It will show what it is. That is so truth. But because we are not watchful, we allow ourselves to be dragged in gradually. Have I fallen prey for this? I have. It has cost me. But I start to learn that we should be careful of the association we make. Men and women, boys and girls, men of higher intellectual or whatever, are even easier to fall because they are very trusting in some cases. And people that is of low distinct street wisdom can even easily figure out this is where that person is coming from. She's not a true friend. She is here to destroy my destiny. You should not allow that to happen. These are people that are called friends, but they are freaks. They are fakes. They are not genuine. They are not true. They are insidious in character. They are there to destroy. But by God's grace, we are more than victors in Jesus' mighty name. Let us go quickly to Judas. You see that Judas, Jesus Christ called him friend. Jesus Christ called him friend. Go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 49 and 50. Some characters we are going to bring this morning, start to see the character, the pattern in some of this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 49 and 50. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master." They are psychopaths. They call your name like, "Oh, honey, this and that, fancy stuff." "Hail, Master," and did what? Kissed Jesus Christ. Not even point to him, not even say that is him. He even went ahead and kissed. Some will be kissing you at the same time planning for your destruction, but it will not come to pass in the name of Jesus. You have to be vigilant and be sober. And Jesus said unto him, what? Everybody, friend. Friend of Jesus kissed him, betrayed him for what? For 30 pieces of silver. There are friends like this who are there, but they are not there with you. There are characters of friends that you will know today that friends are trustworthy. Friends got your back. Friends are honest in advice. Friends in honor will prefer you to themselves. I'm going to go through some few characters in the Bible. This is not the case of fake friends. Judas is one of those fake friends. Jesus here called him friends. Wherefore art thou come? You came for a purpose. You came to betray me. You came for this purpose. If you discern that, and I will tell you something about friends you cannot easily push away, like co-workers. You have to see them every day. Immediately you come into work, they fly to your corner and be nice and smiling. And they are the one that will stab you in the back before you know what's happening because you fail to discern. You can't do away with that one, but you can, in wisdom of God, manage such friends. So you turn what they mean to be disadvantage to advantage. You turn this circle upon them with the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, it is Judas, who is nothing but a false friend, who sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, but he was a friend of Jesus. He has known him. He is associated with him. He's a disciple for God's sake. He's somebody that Jesus called into the ministry. And they were working together. They were reading the Bible. They were healing the sick. They were going about. All the while, he is not a true friend." Ahithophel was one of those in the Bible. It is something about David. David was a triple-fold crown. He has the ministry of a prophet, ministry of priest, and kingship. But for God's grace, this man will have brought him down. Once the enemy raised his son, one of his sons, Absalom, went on the attack against him. Now this Ahithophel is called a trusted, if you read it in the Bible, say he is a trusted advisor to David the king. But behind the scene, he was bearing grudge against David. Behind the scene, he has anger issue against David. Behind the scene, he has unforgiveness against David. But he was working with him for many years. David said that the counsel, the advice of Ahithophel is like that of an angel. David was not afraid of Absalom. He never said he feared when his son came to, or the armies came around him, coming after him. He has the mighty men of war around him. Five of them can take up a nation and slaughter them if you read in the book of Samuel. He has these mighty men around him, but he was afraid when he heard that Ahithophel has moved on to support his son who wants to destroy him. He said, how can I defeat the counsel of this person? Because he was giving counsel that is like God. Counsel of an angel. He said in the Bible, he has to send Hushai and say, "Hushai, you are not going to do me much good here. Go back and tell Absalom that you are with him. Pretend to be one of the people that's against me, but just do one thing and one thing alone. Defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. If he say go right, tell them to go left. If he say go up, don't even think, tell them to go down. Anywhere they want, whatever he said, do the opposite. For if they listen and do as he says, I'm done." Why? This man knows David to the core. He knows his manner of war. He knows how his action will go. Him and the men with him. He knows their ability. He knows when they are weak. He knows when they are down. And he can counsel accordingly to defeat and destroy David. When Hushai went and he started to advise, and Hushai was able to convince Absalom and the people that was against David, he went home and hanged himself. I don't pray for my enemies to hang themselves, but at times they need to hang themselves because they have come against God to destroy the destiny God has for me. And it will not happen in the mighty name of Jesus. The same thing with you, it will not happen, but you need to be vigilant. Many fall prey to this so fast. I have come across this in my little ministry outside the church ministry. Family that has been at peace. Until you make that friend a man, a woman, or whatever it may be, and give it a year or two, family is gone. Because of what? Fake friends. Some have chosen a correct way to go, only to be detracted and distracted. Because of what? What we call fake friends. Samson has Delilah. Delilah called him, "Honey, Samson, I love you, baby. You are wonderful to me. There's nothing like you, Samson. But what is she? Who is she truly? She was a bought woman, self-serving woman. It doesn't matter her makeup, her jewels, her fake lashes, or whatever it is she decorated her mother. She was nothing but a self-serving, manipulative individual. Samson was destined for being a judge in Israel. You may say that he killed a lot of people later on through his own blindness. But what he has to go through because he fell prey to Delilah. Delilah was a friend. Delilah was a lover. Delilah was somebody that was close to him. But all this time, she was there to find a way to take away the strength of Samson so that his enemy can capture him. You will say, how come he tried this woman 3 times? You know what? If you bind my hand with 7 cords, fresh one, I'll be rendered impotent. And she went away and told the people that promised her 1,100 pieces of silver. I said, bind him 7 times and see what happened. They bound him, rolled up like a giant again, and killed every one of them. She came back and started whining. She said, I started crying. She said, as I say, oh my God, you say you love me and you are doing this. Honey, what is going on here? You can't even tell me the truth and say we are together, we love one another. What kind of woman? They're trying to get your secret. They are friends, you don't tell everything. You need to conserve some of your own information with the Lord. Or people that you know you can believe or trust. They are friends, you know that when you tell them this, before you know your boss will probably know it. But because of their valueness or what they call their importance, you stick with them. He stuck with her. She came again and said, okay, take my head drop and nail it on the rafters. And they did that. Nothing worked. Do you know what this great anointed man said? He said that she bugged him so much, drip, 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 every day, cause, cry, cry, cry. And so he said his soul was weary unto death. Nagged him to the point that he has no other option. He has option. He just doesn't follow through. He couldn't discern and apply the application of discernment. Some people discern. The Holy Spirit will push you. The Holy Spirit will whisper to you. God will even use somebody that is saying the truth, but they are not worthy in your own level, to tell you, be careful. Don't do this. Or don't do that. And you discard it for something that is more tangible. You want more like what you can see, appreciate, or think is worth it. So now, she wearied him. She made him so much important that finally, he said, you know what? If you shave off this my hair, if you just cut it off the lock, shave it off, I will lose my strength. True to form, this destiny crusher woman went and told the secret. And immediately then they caught him sleeping or whatever and shaved him off or whatever she did, drug him, I don't know what she did, they put him in this. His strength was gone. Now when they came, he said, I will just rise up like before and flex my shoulder and show my biceps and stuff and knock them out. No. The anointing is gone. These enemies, they are there to run down your anointing. They are there to run down your growth in spiritual things so that you are forever, in a position of no growth, a position that you are not experiencing where God. Be careful of some prayer groups you join for God's sake. Be careful of the people who are acting in such a way that is not in the manner of the scripture, the written word. Be careful of the association you make even into God's Christian kingdom. If we are able to preach on the spiritual blindness, I will show you, I will point out facts of people who have to even have to destroy their own children in the name of God of heaven because they are listening to somebody preaching from this word of God. How can the word of God teach you that? I remember a friend inviting me to a place that will show that I have power. I said, what are we going to do there? Said that you will take up serpent. I said, go take it up yourself. I'm going with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If a serpent come to bite me, I'll believe God. It will not happen. I can crush his head. But why do I have to go tempt God to pick up serpent somewhere in some temple on a mountain somewhere around Camelback? No. Some people will go there because if you see the charismatics of these people, the way they shout and run around and dump on their head and frenzied activities and stuff, you can discern that this is not from God. But that is when we come to the, if we do the second part. Then we have other people like Job. His friends are not what they claim to be. They came to console him. He turned to fighting. He turned to, they know it all, you don't know nothing. He turned to a place whereby Job would have sinned and lost. Even in the trial he went through, I pray none of us ever be in that zone, in the mighty name of Jesus. The level of trial this man went through is beyond concept. Everything lost. Then they came to console him. Some friends come to console, but they are not there for that reason. They are ready to dig you into more pit. And please, do not, after this, I say it again, develop fear of friends. They are good, godly friends. We come to that in a minute. They are friends that are faithful. They are friends that are closer than even brothers. They are friends who their word can be like a wound, as the Bible says, but is better than the kisses of an enemy. They are friends who are trustworthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please let some of your children listen to this. Many of our children are being led astray because of this. Friendship at school. Sleep overnight. Not saying don't do that. Some of these children, they teach, they just are agents. They pull children out. They pull what you have shown them, what you have taught them, what you're trying to show them out of them. So Job's friends was arguing that night. They were supposed to be there for lift up. They were there rather to cast him down. The argument of you are righteous, then no, you are not righteous. The argument that is because of your sin that all this thing happened. The argument that God is cursing you is not God that is on your side. Everything what they were saying is to pull down. And Job answered, and even some of his answers, he got angry and said things. It was a young man there who, after noticed what is going on, said, I thought that wisdom will speak and gray hair with utter knowledge. But that's not the case. This thing belongs to the Lord. So these are the kind of friends, using just biblical example, to point to you that some friends are not friends. But they are examples of good friends. David and Jonathan are good friends. It astounded me that a prince of the kingdom who befriended this royal shepherd noticed what his father could not find out. Noticed what his mother couldn't. What the friend, what everybody, most people in the kingdom could not figure out. That God has appointed David to this position. A good friend will not jealous you. A good friend will not be jealous of your promotion. There are people who want you to be promoted as long as your promotion is not above them. There are people who want you to do well in life as long as you are not doing better than them. There are people who pray for you, but their prayer and their desire is that be well with you, but not better than me. Who am I if God have lifted you? Who am I? It's God that will lift. It's God that promotes. It's God that put you. All I can do, sincerely speaking, is rejoice with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And pray to the Lord and say, see me too. Do not pass me by, O gentle shepherd. Jonathan put away that he was a prince of the kingdom and made a covenant with David. Because the Lord has put, and Jonathan is not just any kind of person. Jonathan is anointed too. He's a man of war. He's a warrior. There was a time they are gathered against Israel. He told his bodyguard to follow him. He fought his way into the camp of the enemies and declared victory and won victory in the name of the Lord for Israel. One single person. He's not a yeye character. He's a genuine man, a strong man. But he noticed what God has done or what God is doing and say, ah, it is God that put David in this position. Who am I to gainsay against what the Lord has said? Instead of being in enmity, he supported him. His father hated that. Every other person said, you are supposed to say, no, it's the Lord that put him there. Now, David was anointed king. But the days of anointing was gone. The days of fulfillment took years and years and years. That year, Saul, the king, was pursuing him. Mountain to mountain, valley to valley, forest to forest, city to city. David was running for his life. Opportunity came for David to kill. He said, no, I will not kill. I wait for the Lord's salvation. Wow, that kind of mind. You know, one day, the Bible said that David was cast down. Oh my God, there's a time you remember your headaches. The things you are going through. The trials you are going through. The position you find yourself in. The valley of life have come upon you. You look to the right, you look to the left. And there seems to be no breakthrough coming. You call upon God and look like his ear is closed up. You are weary, you are tired, you are just becoming a human being. You have done all you can, nothing happened. David got to that point. He said that he was cast down. Do you know what the Bible says? Somehow the news got to Jonathan. Jonathan left what he was doing as a prince. What he was doing as somebody who should be ruling the kingdom, he found David in the midst of the rocks in the wilderness. And the Bible says he came and he did what? He lifted him up. He lifted him up. He spied with him for some days. He talked with him. He counseled him based on the word of God. He told him the promises of God in your life. Though it may take you a downtown for now, stand firm. God is with you. He will see you through. And by the time he left, David was cheered. David was lifted up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what a true friend does. Put your hands together for the Lord. That is what a true friend does. A true friend is not there to be bitter, to be jealous, to put you down, to be fair weather friend. A friend that is faithful. A friend that will give you good advice, or even one you don't want. A friend that will tell you what they see, whether you like it or you don't like it. A friend that will tell you exactly what they know or believe in truth. Oh boy, what is going on in your family? I noticed the way you talk to your wife in public is not right. Why are you treating this good woman like this? That is a good friend. A friend that will come to you, the sister, and say, ah, what is going with you? I see the way you act in your family. You don't take care of your family. You are not doing, well, I'm doing my best. And then you go on defensive. They stick to her to tell you the truth so that you can deliver yourself. But this other one I was telling about, I say, this is the law you are going to use to get your husband. This is what you are going to do to destroy your wife. This is what you will do. Every counsel they give is washed in insidious words. And you start to buy it and sink, drink it and swallow it and digest it and act on it. When you know that these are not true friends. Daniel have friends. They are called in the Hebrew tongue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had these true friends. When trouble come calling, he didn't go to the prophet, he didn't go to the apostle, he didn't go to any other person. He called on his true friends. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what did they do? They went into prayer through the night. He has confidence in his friends. He knows the trust of his friends. He knows the ability of his friends. That these are friends you can know that will watch your back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends that got your back. Not the ones that when you turn your back, 6-inch dagger is sticking out of it. He went into prayer and God revealed to him. God did not reveal to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. God revealed to David, Daniel, the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He went ahead and interpreted, told Nebuchadnezzar, this is your dream, this is interpretation. The Lord, the God of the whole earth, wants to show to you what will happen, what is bound to happen, what is going to happen in the days after. The King of Kings, as he called himself Nebuchadnezzar, who is in charge of kingdoms, he prostrated himself before Daniel and said, truly, your God is God of the whole earth. And promoted him and gave him what? To be ruler over the whole Babylon. Ah. But you know what? Daniel said, thank you, sir. Remember my friends. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some friends, as the Bible said, we should in honor prefer one another. That is true friendship. Immediately the Lord promoted him. He told, before he took that promotion, he said, what of my friends, these other three? What do you want done for them? They put them as managers of the provinces. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A true friend will carry a friend along. A true friend will shoulder the responsibility of a friend. A true friend will honestly tell a friend what they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A true friend will knock it into your head. It will not abandon you. It will not be only when you are on the mountaintop, but also when you are in the valley. A true friend will be there for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, my only friend, he has delivered me. My heart is full of joy. I will ever praise him. Now you say, if I dwell away with the friend I have, this friend, what will I put in place of this friend? If you dwell away with bad friend, then the Lord will provide you good friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They said that somebody was praying one time and said, Lord, deliver me from bad enemies. And he started losing his friends. That means the Lord delivered and answered that prayer. Because the friends he called friends are no friends. You feel like if you separate yourself from these ones, oh my God, what am I going to do with myself? Turn to the Lord. He is always a true friend. Brethren, as we stand on our feet this morning, I will admonish us, don't cast your pearls to the swine. You have pearls in you. There's a spirit in you, the spirit of God. God has ordained that nobody should make you miss your mark. That nobody should be able to terminate your destiny. So don't cast your pearls to these negative people. Friends that are fake, friends that are insidious, friends that are wolves in sheep's clothing. You need to be sober and be vigilant in this walk of faith. Friends will tell you, maybe if you go do this, and you know they are pointing you in the direction of evil. Take care to examine the fruits that is in them. If we preach the second part, if we preach the second part, we go into grafting. How some of these so-called men of God deceive somebody. How they say something I can sit down and watch, I know, but people swallow it and go along with it. In the excitement of the time, they just say, this is it. But they are not pointing you in the right direction. You need to be able to discern the spirit that is at work. And if you don't have that discernment, not talking of the spiritual discernment only, but the one where when the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Some people say, I have a God feeling about what this person is telling me. I have a God feeling of this person that's related to my children. I even advise some people, sabotage that relationship. If you have open eyes for your family, tell them it's wrong. Tell them that they should move away from it. If you could terminate it by yourself before it brings destruction to your family. When people start to tell you to dishonor your wife or dishonor your husband or do things that will hurt the family and you listen to them, ask yourself, is that the Spirit of God that is speaking? When they put their own feeling, their own desires in the name of counseling you to tear you down, you should not listen to these gate crashers or destiny crashers. The Lord God wants you to have friends, but they should be godly, good friends if you're a Christian. So be careful of the association you make. If you have to be around them at workplace or some organization or places, do not allow their action to rub on and stay there because you have to be there. Cleanse it out of your mind. Cleanse it out of your body. If you can't move away, if you can't, use wisdom to circumvent every plan of the enemy. The Bible tells me and you, be sober and be what? Vigilant. Be sober and vigilant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this message. If you are listening, you are watching now or later on, and say, I made a terrible mistake. I listened to them and they misguided me. And now look at the destruction, the damages that has happened to me. Remember, the Lord can restore. Amen. The Lord is able to restore and forgive. You made the decisions, though you are pushed, you are manipulated into it in ignorance. What is done, but the Lord is merciful. The Lord is able to restore. So don't get discouraged. Don't throw your hand up. Don't say it is over with. No. Stay with the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord turned the captivity of Zion. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. Even when he forgave his friends. The Bible immediately mentioned that the captivity of Job, the destruction that came around him, was turned around when he forgave his friends and prayed for them. So maybe you have been misguided and you are saying, my God, what they did to me, put it in your heart. Don't be like Ahithophel. Don't bear grudges. He was bearing grudges probably about Bathsheba, who is a grandchild. Can't go into it historical. So now I say, forgive them. Let them go. They've done their damages, but the Lord can restore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And if you are listening, you don't have Jesus Christ, it's an opportunity to give your life to Christ. And when you are counseling people, you find out you made a mistake in how you guided them unintentionally. If you can, call them, talk to them and say, what I said before, disregard. I didn't tell you the right thing. It wasn't intentional or intentional, whatever. Change. Don't do that. Don't follow my advice. That is also godly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this hour for this exhortation. I pray that your people will bear in mind the truth, what has been spoken, and apply it into their soul. Apply it into their life. Apply it in the life of them they love. And Father, Lord, blindside every evil enemy that come as in the form of friends, but they are fake friends. Let them not see us. Let them not see our children. Let them not come nigh our abode. Secure us and cover us under the blood of Jesus. That, Father, we will not falter. We will not sink. We will not, Father, in any way move away from the plans you have for us. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in Jesus' name.